Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor Joel Sickler, and I trust that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
It was the morning after Thanksgiving, and Amy had a dilemma. She woke up, stretched, and felt heavy. The mashed potatoes were still fresh in her memory, and the leftover pumpkin pie was calling her name from the kitchen. But she knew what had to be done. It was time to exercise. Yes. She stood in front of her mirror and said, "Okay, Amy, you can do this. Just a quick jog around the block. You'll feel better afterward, I promise." As she tried to slip on her sneakers, she felt an overwhelming force pulling her back toward the couch. She got up, grabbed her water bottle, tied her shoelaces, and stepped outside. The cool air hit her face like a refreshing slap of reality. The streets were quiet, almost as if the whole neighborhood was still in a food coma. She slowly put one foot in front of the other, and before she knew it, she had gotten up to speed and was jogging, kind of slowly, maybe like a turkey waddling in its last stretch before the feast. Amy smiled, then looked down at her running shoes. They were squeaking. "Oh, I definitely need new shoes," she thought, but she wasn't going to let that stop her. A few more blocks down, her legs started to feel like they were made of mashed potatoes, but she pushed through. The memory of the second helping of stuffing gave her just a little extra boost. "Just keep moving," she thought. "You've got this." Then out of nowhere, she saw it. The pie. Well, not the pie, but the idea of it. She imagined herself walking back in her kitchen, grabbing a slice and sinking into the couch. It was tempting. Oh, so tempting. But instead, she took a deep breath and did a little sprint for the last stretch and reached her front door with a proud smile. You know, my friend, maybe you're a little bit like Amy this morning. Maybe you felt like you ate a little bit too much for Thanksgiving. We truly do have a lot of things to give God thanks for. But just like it's sometimes difficult to get back up and get exercising and to stay in shape, on a spiritual level, how are you doing? In the daily walk with Christ, are you faithfully reading your Bible, praying, walking with God each day? Today we're going to air the first part of a message preached by Pastor Curtis Going on strengthening the inner man. I hope you'll be able to stay with us as we learn about not just the exercise for outside or earthly body, but what we can do to strengthen a spirit and soul within.
Well, I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to two passages of Scripture. I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Put your finger there and then turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 3. And since you'll be sitting for a couple of hours, I'll invite you to stand for the reading of God's. You're laughing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 3. We'll begin at Ephesians 3, verse 16. Paul writes this, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And then moving to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity and privilege we have to be here. We're grateful for your word. You've not left us without guidance, without instruction. You've given us a precious book. That's our roadmap and our guide for living. And I pray that you would open your word to our hearts. I pray that you would touch me as your vessel, that I would be able to clearly communicate your truth with the anointing of the Spirit. We pray that the word would fall on fertile soil and would accomplish its intended purpose among us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And you may be seated. It's one of the great tragedies of American history. On Friday, May 31st, 1889, after several days of extremely heavy rainfall, waters from Lake Conemaugh ruptured the South Fork Dam, some 14 miles upstream from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. The result was a catastrophic flood. More than 20 million tons of water spilled through the dam with a force that some say was three times more powerful than the Niagara Falls. It destroyed everything in its path, swept up trees, houses, animals in its torrential power. One eyewitness of the flood later said it was like the day of judgment. Debris was piled up 40 feet high. More than $4.4 billion current value worth of damage was done. And in the final count, 2,209 people tragically lost their lives, with some bodies being found as far as 400 miles away. No one was ever held to account for this catastrophic failure of the South Fork Dam. It was concluded that by the courts that the collapse of the dam was caused by, quote, an act of God. But as I understand the history, over the years, investigation of the tragedy and research of the causes of the dam's collapse has revealed that the catastrophe could have been entirely avoidable. Years before, the strength of the South Fork Dam had been weakened by inferior repairs. And a group of wealthy, powerful businessmen established the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club. It was a resort to fish and hunt and relax. And in establishing that resort, they arranged for some modifications to the dam to accommodate their recreation. And these modifications lowered the height of the dam and weakened its structure. And from all appearances, it turns out that the tragic flood and all of the horrible results could actually have been prevented if only the members of the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club had cared about the structural integrity of the South Fork Dam and the safety of the people who lived down below. And as sobering and serious as it is on a Sunday morning, I want to remind you that what happened to the breached South Fork Dam, which created tragic loss for the people of Johnstown, Pennsylvania, could happen to your life or to my life in a spiritual sense. We read together two verses that tell us something about the inner man, the inner person. The idea of the inner man is an interesting one in the Greek mindset. As Paul wrote about the inner man, his original readers would have understood that phrase to be referring to a person's mind, to their conscience, to their will. They understood that the inner man is the core of who you are as a person. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he sheds some more light on this idea of the inner man. And he does that by comparing the inner man to the outward man. And he says the outward man is in the process of dying. Isn't that encouraging news on a Sunday morning? We don't like to think about that very often, but the fact is, some of us, if we sang that great hymn of the church, "The old gray mare ain't what she used to be," we could raise our hands and say amen. I heard about an old married couple that were sitting next to each other one night, and while they were sitting there in silence, the wife said, "Honey, you used to sit close and hold my hand when we sat together like this." So the old man gave a little annoyed sigh and he scooched in a little closer. And she said, "Well, honey, you used to hold my hand too." And so begrudgingly he reached his hand over her direction and they were holding hands. And then she said, "Honey, when we first got married, you'd snuggle up close and put your arm around me." So the old man slowly scooted a little closer and put his arm around her. And after another quiet minute, she said, "You know, I sure do miss how you used to nibble on my ear and whisper sweet nothings to me." And with that, the old man huffed and he puffed and he stood up and he walked across the room. And his wife said, "Honey, what's wrong? Where are you going?" He said, "Well, I'm going to get my dentures." But the fact is, as time moves along, the outward man, Paul says, is perishing. He's wearing down. He's wearing out. But I want to tell you this morning, by the grace of God, while the outward man is wearing down, if you'll partner with God and take good care of the inner man, then the inner man can be renewed and strengthened and freshened day by day and moment by moment. While the outward man is inevitably headed downhill, if we'll avail ourselves of all of the riches of God's grace, the inner man can be headed uphill, getting stronger and wiser and moving from glory to glory to glory and being filled with all the fullness of God. That's the way it can be. That's the way it ought to be for the people of God. And yet, sadly, most people in our world give very little thought to the health of their inner person. And it's entirely possible for the outward man, the outward person, to appear to have his act together and to be impressive and for people to think he's one thing or she's one thing. While behind the scenes, inside, the inner world is in complete chaos. And almost like a body without a skeleton, you manage an outward reputation, but inwardly, there's very little substance, very little structure. And the reality is that for every one of us here this morning, sooner or later, you're going to come face to face with some temptation. You're going to face a storm, a trial, a difficulty, or God may give you some, he may open some door, give you some responsibility, an area of kingdom service. And when you face the fire of temptation, when you face the fire of trial, when you face the difficulty of a storm, you're desperately going to need something down inside that will anchor you and hold you steady and give you stability and will enable you to do what God wants you to do. And how you've been tending to the inner person before that time comes is going to matter an awful lot. And if your inner person is in poor health, if you're inwardly empty, then when the outward pressure comes, and it will come, whether it's temptation, some testing, some trial, whether it's some spiritual opposition, when that time comes, if your inner being is weak and anemic, your spiritual life will implode and crumble. And so that leads us to some important questions that I want to try to answer this morning. One of those is, how is the inner man, the inner person, renewed and strengthened? And secondly, how do we make sure that our inner person is in good health? Well, I want to begin by pointing you back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 16. This is what Paul wrote. He said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. How? By his Spirit. I want you to know this morning that the source of all help, all hope, all power for your inner person is in a living relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Adam Clark, in commenting on this verse, said, "You have many enemies, cunning and strong, many trials too great for your natural strength, many temptations which no human power has the ability to successfully resist, many duties to perform which cannot be accomplished by the strength of man. Therefore," Clark said, "you need divine strength. You must have might. You must be strengthened everywhere and every way fortified by that might. And he said, that is accomplished by the sovereign energy of the Holy Spirit. And this fountain of spiritual energy alone can supply the spiritual strength that's necessary for the spiritual work and the conflict that sometimes ensues in our Christian journey. And it's interesting to me that just two chapters later, after he talks to us about being strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man, Paul tells us that we should be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Without the presence and indwelling and infilling of the Holy Spirit, we will have no spiritual life. We'll have no spiritual health. We'll have no spiritual strength. Without the presence of the Spirit, we don't have anything to offer this world. We know this, but sometimes I think it's easy for us to forget it. And I cannot emphasize to you this morning enough the absolute necessity of being filled with the Spirit and maintaining the fullness of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, keeping in step with Him. You know, there's a popular philosophy in our world that says, look inside yourself. Find the hero inside yourself. Can I tell you, that is a silly way to think and live. Not a one of us have what it takes inside of ourselves to be what we ought to be, to do anything of eternal value for the kingdom of God. We don't have what it takes, but we don't walk alone. And I know this is basic, fundamental truth, but I want to emphasize to you this morning, we have the promise of the Spirit. He said, I'll enable you. And Jesus promised, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, when we talk about this power, we're talking about being strengthened with might in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. And I appreciate what one person wrote. He said, the power that we need to look for is not the power of a strong man like Samson, but the power of a Barnabas. You remember Barnabas? There's no record in the New Testament that Barnabas ever performed a miracle. There's no record that he ever preached a stirring sermon. But he was a man who stood in the gap. And he was someone that the Bible describes as a person of steady character. And his steady character is described as a man who was full of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus promised the enabling power of his Spirit to his disciples. And that promise extends to you this morning. And we dare not try to live without his presence. And we best be careful that we keep in step with him. I love the words that Joseph Crowley wrote. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Wean it from earth, through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness. Mighty as thou art, and help me love thee as I ought to love. So it's the Holy Spirit who gives life and strength and renewal to the inner man. But the strengthening of the inner man doesn't happen without any kind of cooperation on our part. It's not through my effort, it's not through human ingenuity, but this strengthening doesn't happen in a vacuum. Okay, it doesn't happen without our cooperation. We're dependent on him for this power, this strength that we need to be what we're supposed to be. We can't provide that for ourselves, but we do have a responsibility to cooperate and to partner with the Holy Spirit to give him opportunities to strengthen us, to refresh us, to renew us. Several analogies that I think are helpful to understanding this idea. You know that we lived in Harker's Island for about 13 years. Out in Harker's Island, there were a lot of boats. I remember one of the first things I noticed, first time we visited Harker's Island, you'd go past some of these houses, little fishing shacks, and you'd see a boat two times bigger than the house out front. Boats are a big deal. And we would go out on the water different times, and typically, when we went out, we'd go on what's called a Carolina skiff. It's a flat-bottom boat run by a motor. And the thing about a boat that's run by a motor is that the boat driver is in full control. He puts gasoline in the engine and he starts it up and away you go. But every once in a while, out on the Sound, you see a sailboat. And that sailboat is an entirely different thing from a motorboat, because on a sailboat, you hoist the sails and you steer the rudder, but you're entirely dependent on the wind to move you through the water. And if the wind doesn't blow, and sometimes it doesn't, you sit still in the water. In a sailboat, you don't move. You're dependent on the wind, but your job is to do whatever it takes to catch the wind so that you can move along. And when it comes to tending to the health of your inner person, being renewed day by day, your job is to do what you can to put yourself in the place where you catch the wind of the Spirit in your sails and you let Him refresh you and renew you and keep you strong and spiritually healthy.
You've been listening to a message preached by Reverend Curtis Going, Senior Pastor of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. If you have any questions or comments about this broadcast, please give us a call at 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. for evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we gather for a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. This month, we have many things on the calendar, and we look forward to Penview Bible Institute Choir and Symphonic Ensemble coming and joining us for a special evening of music, December 8th at 6 o'clock p.m., and then Saturday, December 14th, and Sunday, December 15th at 6 o'clock, come join us for our annual youth drama titled The Shop, Surrendered. I'm sure that you'll enjoy the story that our youth have been working on for this year. We hope to see you in person, but if that's not possible, you can watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There you'll also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. My friends, we look forward to having you with us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.
Church of Jesus is still